So we're going to dismiss the kids for children's church. There is no youth for junior high and senior high today. So just 3 years of age to fifth grade have classes available over in the east wing. So parents, if you would exit them out the back door, take the first left out into the east wing, and they'll get you to the appropriate classes. Please sign them into class and remember after service to sign them back out of class. And then also the nursery is available behind the window titled Bookstore. Chantel's in there and can take care of your child, or you can sit in there and take care of your own child. Or as always, they're always welcome in service. Which brings me to my next fun and fantastic point. Next week is our first family service. Something newer, yeah. They're going, oh, I come here to get away from my family. So next week, we're not going to send the kids out. We're going to keep them all in here, have a little bit different of a service order, going to involve the kids a little more. Because we believe at coaching and teaching everyone at their own level, but we also believe in family and community and having your children sit beside you and watch you and see how you're responding, reacting, and listening to the Word of God. And then you can go home and talk about, what did you think of the service today? I thought Arby's shirt was really awesome. No, but I meant like, what did you think of the message, the Word of God? Right? I mean, this could be a little distracting. But it is actually a family heirloom. This was my dad's shirt, I believe, before I was even around. So I think it's older than me. Okay? I figured it's a day of celebration. I'm really not excited I'm in pants today. But I'm excited about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And this is a bright, fun shirt. And we should celebrate what the Lord has done. Is my hat too high? Oh, they bright lighten you? How's that? Yes, I'll take tips from the floor. Fives, tens, twenties, you know, whatever. We're having fun today because we're celebrating, right? Okay, we were going to have a baptism today, but ended up not being able to do that due to some family emergencies that happened. So next Sunday, we will do baptism. So if you want to get baptized here at the Life Center in the stage, we do have a baptistry right behind me. If I walk far enough back, I will get wet. But we'll do that next week. So if you want to do that, inside your folders, your Connect card, make sure you check on there, I want to be baptized, and we'll get a hold of you this week to make sure you get here with appropriate clothing and something to change it into and a towel to dry off with. Okay? And I think that's all of my notes. All right. We can jump into the message now. You ready? We've been studying the four points of the cross. Today brings us to Easter Sunday. Endure your journey to reach your destiny. We're going to talk a lot about the journey today because we're still on our journey at getting to where God wants to take us. Can we take a moment and talk to God? I hope you often talk to God along your journey each and every day. I hope you invite Him into your situations, invite His wisdom and counsel into your life, invite His love and peace that it may flow out of you to those around you. So Father, we thank You, Lord God, for the amazing gift, God, of salvation. Father, we thank You for Your Son and His willingness to come to earth, born of a virgin as a baby, God, to be raised and grown into a man, to walk perfectly, God, leading by example for us to follow, Lord God. And Father, in the end, giving up His life to pay our debt, God, to pay for our sins, our trespasses against You. Father, we thank You that You are Lord over all. And God, we ask that You would just open our hearts and minds to receive all that You would have for us today from Your Word and by Your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God's really easy to talk to. It's just everyday conversation. Just like you're talking to your friend, your neighbor across the fence. He wants you to worship and praise Him, give thanks to Him. He wants you to ask and request and give your petitions to Him. He wants to hear your need and your request of Him for it. He knows it, but He asks us to ask of Him, and He will meet us. So talk to God. I would encourage you in that today. I want to look at a couple Bible passages before we jump in today. In John chapter 10, verse 10. It's one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they, or that Arby, may have life and have it to the full. Put your name in there so that Arby may have life and have it to the full. So this verse does a couple of things for me. First of all, it's a warning of there is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy me. So it gives me awareness of the situation I'm in my journey on in life. What's going on around me? Is this something God is sending my way? Or is this something the thief, who also we know as Satan or Lucifer or the devil, is it something he's sending against me? And then it allows me to respond appropriately to the situation I'm in instead of react. Do you know the difference? Reaction usually means I'm out of control and I'm just doing something because something happened. Respond is what an EMT does when he shows up to an accident on the highway. He knows to assess the situation and assess the scene for any other dangers and then to begin proceeding with caution. If you show up to a scene and you're not trained, you react, you run and jump into the burning vehicle. An EMT stands back and goes, whoa, I will blow up too. I'm going to respond here and get the fire extinguisher and put out the flames first. Okay, so we need to learn to respond to the situations in our life instead of react to the situations in our life. Because if we react, we're going to get burned. We're going to have tragedy. We're going to have hardship because of our reactions. But if we respond, we do what the Lord tells us through the truth of His Word, and we act according to it, to the situations that we're put into. Another verse I want to look at today is Isaiah 53. Have you ever taken a journey? Have you ever had to spend some folding money to go on a journey? Have you ever swiped a card to go on a journey? Have you ever got home and go, I wish I wouldn't have taken that trip? It's going to take me a year to pay it off. But wow, it was 3 days of fun. Right? Journeys cost something. This journey of life, we had a Savior come and say, I'm going to pay for Him. I'm going to pay for His journey. Because ultimately our destiny is to reach heaven. That's what God has designed for us. When Jesus left this earth, He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. He prepared hell for Satan and his angels. But He went away to prepare a place for us, humanity, the human race, in heaven. Our ultimate destiny is to get to heaven and enjoy what the Lord has prepared for us. So everything up to that point is just part of the journey. So Isaiah 53, verse 2 through 5. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Jesus paid the price for our journey to our destiny. It's already been paid for. Everything that matters has been paid for. Yeah, you still might want your new dirt bike or your new tennis shoes or your new Volkswagen Bug, or you might have to pay for those things. But what really matters in getting to our destiny that he's prepared for us, Jesus has paid the bill. Now it's our job to remain faithful and obedient in our journey as we travel along in life, getting to our destiny in eternity. How many of you would take a trip if it was paid for to your chosen destination? Sign me up! How many of you have ever got to go on a trip to your chosen destination that somebody else paid for? Quite a few of us. It's fun, isn't it? Get whatever you want, Arby. I'll pay for it. Yeah, that's fine, Arby. Get it. I'll pay for it. It's fun. I get home and my bank account didn't go down. It's exciting. Guess what? In your spiritual life, Jesus paid for it. All we have to do is bring our receipt to the cross in repentance and say, Lord, I screwed up again. Please forgive me. And you know what he does? He writes a note and says, paid in full, and hands it to the Father. Says, Arby's good to go. I'll cover his debt. But I have to go to the cross or go to Christ in repentance and ask forgiveness for what I've done. That's on me. My action. That's how I need to respond when I fail. So I need to go before Christ and say, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. The Word tells us to repent daily. Maybe we even committed sins we're not aware of. God, if I've done something today to offend you, I often pray this. When I can't think of anything I've done that I can consciously think of, I say, God, if there's anything in me that's not of you, even if it's just how I look at life, how I view people, God, show me so that I may treat them more like you would treat them, so that I may love them more like you would love them. And forgive me of any wrongdoing. Because I want to be right with God. I want to go enjoy my destiny in eternity, in heaven. And ultimately, that's what he's prepared for us. If we jump back 3 days, Friday, which I thought the thunder and lightning was a pretty awesome display on Friday, on Crucifixion Day. If we jump into the journey with Jesus' disciples, they've been awaiting this Messiah, this Savior of the world. And they're just on their journey. And what happens? They take Jesus, they whip him, they beat him, they crucify him. They pull his body off the cross, they go stick it in a cave and roll a rock in front of the door. They're going, God, this isn't the journey we signed up for. We thought we had found the Messiah. Now he's behind a big rock, laying dead in a grave. So they give up. They go back to fishing, some of them. They go back to what they used to know. They didn't realize they were still on the journey. They thought they had reached their destiny, and their destiny failed. But what was really going on is the journey was still taking place. The cross wasn't Jesus' destiny. It was just a path along the journey. But then Sunday came, and he arose again. He came back out of the grave. Some of you in your life have reached a point that you thought was your destiny. And you stopped believing, you stopped caring, you stopped giving, you stopped doing. And you've remained in what you used to know because you thought you had reached all that it could be. But God wants you to know there's still a lot of journey left ahead of you. And you're not even close to your destiny that He's called you to. But you need to learn to endure the journey. Jesus' disciples, they of course were back out fishing in the boat, and He comes along the shore and says, throw your nets on the other side again. And they're still kind of going, well, who is this guy? What's he doing? And then they start hauling in a bunch of fish, and they're like, I remember. Jesus, this could it be? But we watched them kill Him and take Him away and bury Him. Could it be? Some of us need to remember. The God I served, the miracles I saw, that God's still alive today. He just looks in a totally different way. Several times this morning, people looked at me and said, I don't recognize you. I said, why? They said, you're in pants. That's funny. I'm roasting up here. Sometimes Jesus shows up in our lives, in our situations, and we don't recognize Him. Just like the disciples that walked down the road with Him after His resurrection. Like, who is that guy? They didn't recognize Him at first. Mary Magdalene, when she ran to the tomb to peek inside, she stopped and talked with the gardener, or who she thought was the gardener. That was Jesus. She didn't recognize Him in her situation. But after it all happens, you know why we call Good Friday Good Friday? Because we know what happened on Sunday. The disciples didn't call it Good Friday. They called it destiny devastation. It's over. The one we thought was Him wasn't Him. They even have power over Him. They took Him out of our lives. What do we do now? I know how to catch fish. God wants to move you ahead and not backwards. God is still alive. He's still active. He's still moving. He's still breathing. He's still functioning. We just don't always recognize Him in our situations. We've got to look for Him. We've got to know He's good all the time. We've got to know He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if that's true, then the situation I'm currently in is lying to me. Or I'm believing something false about it. Mary Magdalene looking in the tomb, she's looking going, well, he's gone, but the gardener's here. And she just didn't see it. Sometimes we just don't see it. But that's when we need to apply our faith to our situation. Because faith is things which are not seen but hoped for. Things that I'm hoping for in my life that I know God can bring to pass because of His goodness, because of His grace, because all things are possible with Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So my faith believes that, though my eyes, they betray me. I look out and go, it ain't happening. But faith is using that, your spiritual eyes, knowing because I have this hidden in my heart, the Word of God, and I know God's good, and I know He's the same. And I know He's never going to leave me or forsake me or abandon me. And I know He'll give me strength and ability in the time of need. And I apply my faith to that no matter what I'm going through. I was thinking driving up the mountain today, leaving town, it was clear down below, but about halfway up it was foggy. I was like, oh, it's going to be a foggy sunrise service. But you drove through the fog for about a half mile, and then, boop, you popped out of it again. There's one thin layer of clouds. And on top of the mountain, it was gorgeous again. And you could look down into the fog. And it looked like a big lake over the valley. Sometimes in our lives, I was going to use this earlier in the week as a hunting analogy. Sometimes I go hunting and it's so foggy you can't see. You're like, oh, there's no sense in being out here anyway. Can't see 30 feet. But I've found if you'll drive to a different mountain, sometimes there's no fog there. Or if you just go up a little higher or down a little lower, there's no fog there. If we could apply that to our lives, because sometimes we run into a fog bank in our lives and we can't see. We can't see God, we can't see His goodness, we can't see people that love us, we can't see people that care for us, and we feel abandoned, we feel rejected. I got news for you. Jesus felt abandoned and rejected on the day that we call Good Friday. His closest friends abandoned Him. One of His closest friends betrayed Him for 30 pieces of silver, handed Him over to be murdered. Jesus went through it, and you know what He said when He hung up on the cross? Father, forgive them. Forgive them. That's a lesson we're supposed to take in. Arby, forgive them. I've paid for it. The debt's already paid, but you need to forgive them, Arby. We have a lot of lessons from Jesus' journey. Learn to respond to abandonment and rejection instead of react. Learn to respond in forgiveness and love instead of hatred and giving out your own rejection and abandonment. We've got to learn to respond and not react. I'm always looking for sermon material, and I had this friend back in high school. There were actually three of us going hunting, and Dad dropped us off up the Middle Fork, and then he was going to drive around the backside of the mountain to our hunting camp. And we were going to hunt up the mountain and over the mountain and down the backside to our camp. And we're at the highway getting ready to take off, and my one friend, who it was his first time hunting with me and my other buddy, and he goes, well, where are we going? I said, well, over the mountain. He goes, yeah, right, that's funny. I said, no, I'm serious. We're going over the mountain. Camp's on the backside. And he still laughed and thought it was funny. And after about 5 hours of hunting and climbing, he goes, well, are we heading back down now? I said, well, didn't you notice my dad dropped us off and left? Like, he's going to meet us at camp tonight. Like, we're hiking there. And he's still in disbelief that this is happening. He's like, we're not going over this mountain. It's a big mountain. It's about 3,500 vertical feet. And a couple hours later, we're sitting there having a sandwich on the hillside, and he goes, we're really going over this mountain. It's like, yeah, I told you we're going over the mountain. Sometimes we have to endure the journey of life. Each and every day. And it was physically exhausting. It was a journey. But I was deep in this hole once. The snow was about this deep. I was chasing mountain lions. And we'd been hunting all night. We'd ran a couple bobcats, and we'd hiked a lot through the night in deep snow. And we caught this lion way, way, way down the mountain in a hole. Some people refer to it as a hell hole because it gets you that close. And we're down there. I look at my friend. I said, how are we ever going to get out of here? He goes, one step at a time. Sometimes we need to remember that in our lives. Just shut out the big picture. Come back to one step at a time. Do you know why the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? Because it shows you one step at a time. You can know in the back of your mind, my ultimate destiny is to get into heaven for eternity. That's where God wants me to be. That's what He's prepared for me. That's what He's designed and created me for, to be in relationship with Him along my journey and to experience Him and His glory for eternity in heaven. That's what He's created for us. But every day in my journey, I'm supposed to bring Him glory. I'm supposed to bring Him honor. I'm supposed to share the good news of His Son, Jesus Christ, of His love, of His forgiveness, of His grace, of His mercy. Along my journey every day, I'm supposed to do those things. And you are too. Each and every one of us. Sometimes you just got to go over the mountain. You just need to go one step at a time. It's a race of endurance. It's a whole lifetime of believing for what you cannot see, of trusting what you do not know. And if Jesus didn't resurrect from the grave, He's just another dead guy. And we should all be out doing something else today. But since He did resurrect from the grave, He proved all of what He said by showing His power and authority over death, hell, and the grave. Have you ever had someone lie to you? A couple of you? The rest of you haven't talked to any politicians. Just the other day, I was coming home from a baseball game in Kendrick, and I asked somebody, I said, "Hey, have you heard if Carrot Ridge is, this is during all the mudslides and everything going on, have you heard if Carrot Ridge is open?" "Yeah, it's open." So it's 10 o'clock at night, and I'm coming back around, and that was my fastest route, so I take it, and I get about halfway up Carrot Ridge, and here's this fresh new mudslide across the road. Ugh. Now I have a 45-minute delay and wraparound reroute back up the Gilbert grade. So whether they lied to me or not, it could have been open last they checked. It was fresh. It didn't look like it had rained on it yet. But I felt lied to. Aren't you glad that Jesus does not lie to us? His promises have never been disproven. They've always been accurate. They've always come to fulfillment. And while Jesus is along on His journey, currently He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Just as Jeff spoke about before communion, he said, No, I paid for Him. He's good to go on the journey. I covered His sin. He's good. But He also made this promise, I'm coming back again for my church, my bride, my kids, my people. He is coming back again. And not just for the dead, but also for the living who are in Christ. He's still on His journey. Jesus still has not reached His destiny. He's still on journey. He's on mission. He's acting on our behalf as we sit here. He's interceding for us to the Father. He said, "Hey, you saw Arby's need. What can we do about that? How many legions of angels should we send in His behalf?" He's interceding for you and I today. He's still on His journey to bring us into our destiny, eternity in heaven. That's exciting. Very exciting. I had this other friend. I have a lot of friends. If you don't have friends, The Word of God says, show yourself friendly that you may have a friend. If you don't have friends, you might want to look at yourself. There's instruction about how to get friends in the Word of God. Isn't that cool? He loved us so much. He said, Arby's going to need some help getting some friends. So I'm going to give him an instruction manual on how to do it right. Okay? And you don't backstab them. You don't lie about them. You don't slander. You don't cheat. You don't steal from them. There's a bunch of other things that can go on there, right? You don't take your friend's wife. It talks about that too. But I had this friend, of course, back in high school again. It was the same one that we went over the mountain with. And as we're hiking, of course, we hammed it up all day and had a great time. And we're probably too loud and obnoxious to really be hunting. We're probably on a glorified hike. But we were sitting at some point in the journey. He's like, and it was one of his first hunting experiences. And he says, well, what do I do if I get lost? And we were kind of joking. We said, well, you hug a tree, right? And you yell, hey, you guys! So not long, I don't remember if it was that same hunting season or the next, but he actually did get lost out overnight. He's like, I sat there and yelled that all night long and you guys never came. And he had shot all of his ammunition. But sometimes we get lost in our journey and we need to hug a tree. Say, hey, yo, God. We need to yell and call on the name of Jesus. I don't know what I'm doing. But if I keep moving forward in what I'm doing, I'm going to react. And I'm going to blow something up. And it's going to get ugly. But if we'll stop, the reason you're supposed to hug a tree, oh, should I hug the cross instead? I don't know if my mic is squeal back there. This is the best tree to hug right here. The cross. Yeah. It's because it keeps us from running away and falling into further trouble and destruction. It keeps us from getting even more lost. And when you stop, a search party can catch up to you. If you keep moving, they have to keep putting the trail together and find where you last were and where you last went and try to catch up on your own advancements. But if you'll stop at the cross and say, Jesus, I'm in a miserable spot in my life. I need help. And so I'm just going to sit right here at your feet and drink you in. I'm going to sit with your word and read it and study it and know it. And I'm going to sit and talk to you one-on-one, face-to-face, until you give me answers. You know why fasting is so incredible? Because you deny your flesh what it wants. And you give your spirit what it needs. You sit with Jesus one-on-one. And you drink in His knowledge, His information, His wisdom, His love, His grace. You say, I'm going to seek you until I find you. There was a great Easter egg hunt this last week. Lots of them, actually. But those credit union eggs, people were not giving up. They were digging for it. They were rooting around town. They were not tearing up any personal property. I hope. But one kid, a baseball player, got in at 3 in the morning and was up at 6 a.m. to go look for that egg. And he found it. We need to have that same tenacity when seeking Christ for a situation in our life. So I'm not going to give up until I'm found by you or I find you. Whatever comes first. I have needs, Lord. And I'm seeking you for them. Back to John 10:10. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Of course, we know the first part of that tells us there's an enemy out there against us. So we know that stuff's going to come. But the blessed life that Christ has to offer us, the life to the full, it isn't about a bank account that's overflowing, so you had to open another account at a different bank. It's about when life and tragedy strikes me in my journey. It's about when they drag Jesus to the cross and crucify Him, and it looks like everything I thought was right is going wrong. I know that Sunday's still coming. I know that even though it looks terrible today, this isn't what God has in store for me. I know it's not over yet. I know the resurrection life is still ahead of me. Experiencing the blessings of God is experiencing His peace that surpasses all my understanding. Experiencing the comfort of the Holy Spirit that only He can bring into your situation. And knowing that God is still good. God is still amazing. God is still worthy of my praise. Even though life doesn't look that great today. I had this elk hunter probably 20 years ago. One of my first hunts. So I was a little green myself. And we'd been hunting and I'm hiking him around and he's like, man, you're killing me. And we're up in the North Fork country, and it's kind of goat country with timber on it. He's like, can you just take it? Can you slow down? Of course, I'm 18, 19 years old, and he's 63, 4, 5-ish. And I thought I was taking it easy on him. And he finally, we're sitting down, he unbuttons his shirt. He's like, I just had open heart surgery 3 weeks ago. I'm going, I could have killed this guy. That would have been nice to mention at the beginning of the hunt. So I adjusted my hunt, which you can't adjust a lot there, but you can ride your animals through a little bit sketchier stuff to get them higher up the mountain so they don't have to hike as far. And then I'm like milking it, like, come on, let's go. Take it easy. Need a break? Can I get you anything? Now I'm nervous. And finally, the last day of the hunt, we'd been seeing some elk, but it was always a piece here and a piece there, and it was foggy and it was rainy, and we got into a lot of elk. Never had a shot opportunity for him. And finally, it comes down to the last day of the hunt. And I see this bull standing across the draw about 150 yards. And I'd watch the rest of the herd go over the ridge. And he's the last elk on the hillside. And his head is behind this big bushy fir tree. And I watched him walk in. I'm like, see that elk right there? And there's a big red pine trunk right next to him also. I said, the one next to the red pine trunk with his head behind the green tree, that's the bull. Shoot it. And he gets ready. I said, are you going to shoot it? He goes, I can't see it. I said, what? He says, I can't see it. I says, it's right there. He goes, well, I see the body, but I don't see any antlers. I'm like, well, I'm telling you, that's the bull. Shoot it. And we argue for a little bit, and finally it wanders off. I was like, are you kidding me right now? It goes over the ridge. And it's a pretty good draw to cross. It was really steep. I was like, oh, you think you can get over there? Because they got another big canyon they have to go through and we might be able to see them. And they don't know we're there yet. So I start milking him over there and get him over there. About now, the gun goes off behind me. I'm turning around to hope he's aiming at a hillside shooting an elk somewhere. But I'm pretty sure dirt just splattered the back of my legs. And it did. He's got his gun like this, and I'm right here. We don't know what's going to come at us in our journey. We don't know what it's going to look like. I could have looked a whole lot different 6 inches to the left or right. Or 2 feet higher. Life is going to happen. The Word of God tells us that. But He also tells us, even when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So we gathered ourselves, and we were in the bottom of the draw, and I thought, well, maybe the elk thought it was thunder. Because that's usually what they do when they hear a gunshot, right? It's our only chance. It's the last day. So we climb back up to the top of that ridge. And there's this huge white fur about this thick laying on the ground that we get. It's perfect. We get a sneak up right behind it, look over. There's the elk all over the hillside. I was like, oh, couldn't ask for any better. Thank you, Lord. I say, okay, get up on this log and get a rest and shoot the bull. So he walks over and he climbs on top of the log. And he's standing there teeter-tottering. I'm like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I said, get a rest on the log. He goes, oh, I thought you wanted me on top of it. And the elk are like 90 yards away. It's like how they didn't see him, I have no idea. So boom, he gets his elk, his once-in-a-lifetime hunt. He'd been saving for like 15 years to go on that hunt. Some of us have been sitting out of the game for 15 years, just waiting. Or maybe it's been in doubt or fear or rejection or pride. Jesus wants you to know He's paid for it all so that you may have life and have it to the full. And when He fills something up, He doesn't fill it to the brim. He fills it to the capacity of overflowing in abundance so that you and I may be a blessing to those around us as well. So the blessing of the Lord doesn't stop with me. It's supposed to be generational. It's supposed to flow into my community, to my friends, to my coworkers, and to my family. So let the floodgates of heaven open up into your life and experience the fullness that Jesus paid for on the cross. Because He wants you to have the fullness of joy. He wants you to have the fullness of salvation. He wants you to have the fullness of His love and mercy. He wants you to have the fullness of His grace. He wants you to have the fullness of His Holy Spirit being a guide and counsel in your life. But you've got to invite Him in. Jesus resurrected. He has power and authority over death, hell, and the grave. And He offers that power and authority to you and I in His name because of what He's done for us. There's no sin too great. Jesus is standing with His arms wide open, saying, come to me. I've paid it. Just ask. Give me the receipts. I'll pay for them. It's covered. My blood's enough. My sacrifice is enough. And I've made an eternity for you in heaven. And I'm coming back for you again. Amen. Happy Easter. Or happy Resurrection Day. Go and enjoy, celebrate the goodness of the Lord and what He has done. Amen. Wayne, would you come, please?
Thank you, RB. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy